Better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Well, top of the month here, and welcome to the 600-second Kick-Ass Life Show, designed to put a little smile on your face, a little spring into your step, and allow me to give you a little push in the rump, a little boot in the body, or as I like to kick it,
You like to kick it?
Or as I like to call it, a kick in the arse. Well, and I always start with a few fun facts. Oh, my tongue's all tied up today. I can hardly use it. Do you realise this? The largest eggs in the world are laid by a shark. I don't know about that. That sounds crazy. I thought the ostrich had the largest egg in the world. A scallop. How do you say it?
Scallop.
A scallop, for those of you that say it like that, has 35 blue eyes. I wonder why they're blue. And a group of jellyfish is called a smack.
Schmack.
Would you like to come down to the schmack and have a little jelly? Lobsters can live up to 50 years. I didn't know that. Well, I wonder if that's why some of them taste so rotten. They're all tough and stuff. And a common goldfish is the only animal that can see both infrared light and ultraviolet light. Well, and lastly, dolphins sleep with one half of their brain at a time. And one eye open. That's pretty cool. Well, I don't know. I know some people that are only using half their brain most of the time.
Well, here
we are. We should describe where we are. Where are we?
We're in Belize on Thatch Key.
Thatch Key on this beautiful private island. We actually walked down to the southern tip. There's a little breeze coming in on our backs from the east, where the bird sanctuary is.
Which is refreshing because it's very hot and humid.
Yeah, very hot and humid. We have to speak up a little bit with that mic, just so you know. Jen's voice isn't coming through as loud as mine, so I'm going to have to make her speak up just a little tiny bit. We're here, and anyone who's looking to have a vacation or wanting to try this place out, you know, the beautiful thing about Belize is it's English speaking. You can use US dollars, and it's very, very easy. It's only 2 hours from Miami, so it's really, really quick to get here. And just a great country. There's so much here. The Mayan ancestry, there's great adventures. And of course, Thatch Key, if you want to look it up and come and book here next year, it's called like a thatch roof, THATCH, Key, CAYE, Belize, the country.com, Thatch Key, Belize.com, CAYE, remember. If you want to come here and live on this little eco-friendly island with cabanas whose stilts are in the water, so you'll be actually on the water. And we've got 4 dive masters, some of the best diving in the world right here. So yeah, come down and visit us. And are you having a good time being back?
Absolutely.
Is this your third visit or second?
Second.
Oh, your second. And we're doing a program here called Mind, Body and Spirit. Mm. And all of our guests are going to be starting and arriving tomorrow and the next day. And then we'll get going.
Yahoo!
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, today we have a few questions. We don't have as many because we were traveling, so we posted the question up late as far as on Facebook. So we only have a couple here. But we're going to do our best and give you some answers to some of these great questions.
Alrighty. So our first question's from Darion. She writes, I'm a single parent. I work full time, new to learning how to be a professional network marketer and working to transform my entire life. I have 4 children. I struggle with finding balance and often feel all over the place and get overwhelmed, as well as feel guilt that more focus should go on my children or that I can't afford to finance my business unless I work more, spend more time away from my family. My question, I guess, is how do I balance this all without losing focus?
Well, you know, there's real keys, not just for network marketers, but for anyone listening right now. Obviously, if you want to have a great balanced life, you're going to have to plan it, you know. And unfortunately, most of us just don't plan well. And I've talked about this before, you know, get a big calendar, one of those ones from Office Depot or somewhere. And, you know, your job there would be to to lay out in the calendar. First of all, you can look at your faith. If you go to church, you can add your faith in there. So if Sunday mornings you're at church, perfect. Or if you go to meditation or whatever you do, you'd have that in there. You'd have your exercise in there, so you know which day you're going to be exercising. Is it, you know, every day? Is it 5 days a week? Dr. Michael Colgan, who's down here teaching on the island, believes it should be every day. And then you would add in, you know, family time. You'd add in your job, you know, the work that you do currently right now. And as you start to fill in the calendar, date night with you and your sweetie, your time for yourself, because a lot of women, especially this is a woman's question, but, you know, women will put everyone else on the calendar but not themselves. What time do you spend? Maybe it's to go to yoga. Maybe it's to, you know, just go and spend time with the girls.
Read your favorite book.
Read your favorite book. So you put everything in the calendar. And what we find, most people find out, is they have much more time than they think. Mm. And so they end up with all this time because now they have a calendar that allots for everything. And so what you do, once you have all of the big pieces in there, which is your family, your faith, your exercise, you know, the job, all these different things in there. You have everything accounted for. Your husband, if you're a woman, one thing, put your husband in there. If you want him to support you in your business, know there's time you've allocated for him. That's where the date night comes in. But spend time together. So make sure he's on the calendar. Make sure your kids are on the calendar. And then with what's left, you'll have some gaps to build your business in. And we've helped people become millionaires who have worked, they've only had an hour and a half to 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. So that's only 10 hours a week that they've allocated to their part-time business. And they've been able to retire from their jobs and been able to create financial freedom, build their dream home, move across the country on 2 hours a day. But it's not the 2 hours. A lot of people mix this up, you know, that it's not the length of time you're in a network marketing company or doing anything else. It's the amount of conversations you're having. What's the activities you're doing in those 2 hours? So, you know, a good term is income producing activities. So what activities that produce income will you be doing? And a lot of people, they get too quickly into management mode and they're not into, so if it's a conventional business, you know, how much time are you spending marketing? Because every business in the end of the day comes down to marketing. You could have the greatest idea in the world, but if you're not bringing it to the world, no one knows about it. So the idea there is that there's a little hermit crab just crawling across by our feet.
So I was totally distracted by it.
I could see that. And by the way, we're sitting on the Southern Palapa and there's turquoise blue sea and little white puffy clouds.
Fluffy clouds.
Yeah. Anyway, so how's that do? You have anything you want to add to that?
No, I think the only thing I can add is I've actually created a challenge for myself because I've been finding that even with my network marketing business that it's very easy for me to sit down and to spend 6 hours at it. Next thing I know, the whole day is gone and I haven't exercised. I haven't done the things that I love, that I love for me. So my 21-day challenge has been to commit to 30 minutes a day of exercise, just 30 minutes. And it's really funny because our last 4 days I've been so busy that I actually haven't even had 30 minutes. But what I've done is try, at least it's on my mind and it's a focus on my mind to squeeze something in. So I even caught myself the other day doing step-ups in the bathroom while brushing my teeth, or, you know, the things that I was doing. If I had to go up the stairs, I'd run instead of walk. But at least that focus is there, and I've made one thing a priority. I don't know if that helps, but when you've got a lot and you're feeling overwhelmed, maybe choosing one thing to focus on and making that a priority.
Yeah, and you are going to get overwhelmed. The other thing is don't beat yourself up. But I mean, it's a discipline to run a calendar well. I am not the most disciplined person, but I also don't get stressed out when I don't do it. So, you know, there are people who set lots of plans. Mm. And then they don't do it. Then they beat the crap out of themselves. So they set more plans and then they don't do it. And then they beat the crap out of themselves. So it's this vicious cycle. I don't have that button of beating the crap out of myself if I don't do it. I'll say, you know, I set the intention. But I mean, when you're on a plane for, you know, two days, yeah, basically. And sometimes, you know, you're just not in a place where you can do the things you said you're going to do. Well, the secret isn't to then beat yourself up and feel like you're not succeeding, but it really is to try and design a life, mm-hmm, that works. And I think the best way to do that is to really have your calendar set.
Yeah, get organized.
You have to speak up, honey.
Sorry, honey. All right, our next question is from Alan M. Alan says, you've mentioned tantric sex.
Ooh. Ooh la la.
What turned you on to this? And he's asking, whom enjoys it more, the male or the female?
Well, I mean, Tantra is something, again, you know, it's, and I want a confession here is that, you know, we've been really busy lately. And so Tantra is something that certainly we've practiced and certainly need to practice more. I just want to put that out in the cards because with our lifestyle the way it's been just lately, this would be the perfect time to make time. But Tantra doesn't have to be, again, and this is only my point of view. So for those of you that don't understand Tantra, you can look it up. There's some really great books on tantric sex. And it's really this prolonging, it's not with a lot of people think of sex, you know, they think of, about the end. And I think the way I determine or the way I look at Tantra is that there is no end. It really is this unity, this beautiful coming together of two souls in the gentlest and the slowest. And it's more of a beautiful sort of the setup, the thinking about it. The way I look at it, I think about one of our earliest...
Mother, cover your ears.
But, you know, I mean, so I had a massage table set up and beautiful oils. And this wasn't about having sex. This was about, you know, sharing something that was so much deeper than sex. Sex is, to me, just one dimension of something that can be uniquely beautiful. And so I massaged Jen for maybe a couple of hours even with beautiful music playing and soft candlelight and just lots of really about giving fully of myself. And I find when in that situation that it's almost like I'm giving to myself as well. When you serve another human being on that level, and then I bathed her and washed her and washed her hair. And this is quite early on even. And so, you know, but this turned into a many hours of unity, which was way beyond just a physical, you know, sort of start here, go there. I think a lot, when you say who enjoys it more, I think both. Mm-hmm. But you have to come from a place of service and giving and selflessness. And the truth is that Tantra, there's so many realms of Tantra. But to explore somebody in a beautiful way, in a gentle way, and it's beyond the sex, and again, it really is that holding back. It's about not going all the way. And what happens is that the build, and it keeps building and building and building and building, and what the experience is so far beyond what you would have. Now, I'm not saying that it should replace a quickie or replace, you know, where you want to have that other form of sex. It's both. It's all these things. I mean, sex is...
Great.
I think that here's the challenge for a kick-ass life practitioner, men and women, is most people forget. They learn sex when they're young, and they don't study it, you know. But if they got an instrument, like that's a funny analogy, but if they got a saxophone... Typically, they'll get a teacher, and they'll keep getting lessons, and they'll keep learning, and they'll meet other people who will teach them things that, you know, whatever. But with everything else in our life, you know, we tend to want to get better at it. But with sex, a lot of people, they just stop. They learn this thing. They have these, like, three or four set moves. And, of course, then it becomes boring. I mean, the worst thing is to be bored. Yeah, bored in bed. And by the way, bed is a weird place to make love. But, I mean, there's a lot of places in a home to share that experience. But lovemaking, I always feel, it's that connection. It's the intimacy. And of course, women crave the intimacy. If you think of those three areas, you know, protection, connection, and safety. A woman needs to feel safe in bed or anywhere else, whether you're expressing the full range of your intimacy, which again is all things, you know, it's not one thing. And if there's young people listening right now, it's really understanding that this is something you can learn and you can keep getting better with age. You can keep understanding, you can understand. And then conversation, you know, really having trust to talk about what feels amazing, you know. And then, you know, the idea for a lot of people is getting stuck in a routine. And it's like any other routine. It's like, you know, in the end, it's going to become boring and not as satisfying. and I think it's not one of those things that has to be that way. And you know, whether you're really, really busy and you don't have time, then the intimacy's there. Whether it's a cuddle or just really having time to be together, maybe having a bath together. Now we do something every day, which we've done since we met, which is we shower together and we wash each other. And that, in essence, that can be a tantra kind of philosophy, where even in our busy, busy lives when we're running, you know, we'll take that time, and it's, you know, 25, 30 minutes where we wash each other's hair and each other's bodies. And it's a beautiful time for us to connect even when we're crazy, crazy busy, which sometimes we are. And our kids understand, hey, we're just going for a shower. It's not something we hide from them. It's something where they understand fully that we shower together. And you know, there are times where that shower can become really intimate, and there's times where it just becomes really a selfless, beautiful act of giving someone and being connected to someone on a much higher level. So
I find that time, too, forces us to stop, right? And, you know, sometimes we'll catch each other, even though we're washing each other's hair, our mind is thinking about what we should be doing and what's next, but it really forces us to go, okay, this is our time. We're 20 minutes in the shower together. Let's just be here with each other and really connect. And it's nice that it's part of our routine, and we make sure that, okay, well, what are you doing now? Let's head to the shower in half an hour. Like, we really make sure that we make that time and that we're in the shower together, because it's our time.
And that can be, I mean, again, there's probably tantric experts listening right now, and the philosophy of tantra is something that I have read books on this, and there really are hundreds and hundreds of books. I like to express it just the way I feel it. Not, you know, I could go back and give you the definitions and, you know, and go back into the ancient texts of tantra. But I do think that, I think the number one thing is that, you know, a kick-ass life practitioner has an open mind in the bedroom and or the kitchen or the living room or on the deck or in a boat or wherever you are, has a completely open mind to explore somebody in their full range, which means that the softest, gentlest, and most connected way, and also in a fierce and a you know, aggressive and whatever. But as long as there's safety within that and communication, great safety, and that if we take it on as couples to create a wonderful sex life, and then we're going to have to do a little bit of work. It's not just going to happen by itself. It's going to have to be a point of focus where you try things, you talk about things, you enjoy things, you surprise each other. And I think surprise is a beautiful thing, especially I think for women, for more than men. But I also think, you know, that, I mean, this is a long, long subject. And if you want, I'll find an expert in the area. That's what we should do.
Get
an expert on and explore that.
Dr. Judy?
Yeah, Dr. Judy, maybe. Yeah, that's a great one. All right. Anyway, I hope that answers that. Did that sort of touch on that?
Yeah. I just, on the topic of sex.
Your mother just heard you say sex on a global radio show.
And speaking of range, I just wanted to share, Tracy shared with us that she learned a good lesson, that she must type the word "the" in front of kickasslife.com.
Otherwise, there'll be a whole new experience.
So don't forget the T-H-E, because that's not... this is something totally different. Anyway, our last question today... I'm just going to read what this person sent to us, and so we can get a sense of the real question. So she writes, "I know that I'm my own worst enemy. I have in the past and still currently tend to what I would call self-destruct or sabotage my own happiness. If I go back 10 years ago to 39, I was very, very angry. I was married at 19 and in hindsight should have divorced at 20. I was miserable and I had nothing in common with my then husband. We fought to the extremes on a regular basis. It was a very violent marriage, not so much physical, although that did happen, but the emotional violence was horrendous. I have a wonderful job and I'd say I'm married to that job. I work 6 days a week and feel happy when I'm there. It gives me purpose and I feel needed. I'm in a managerial role and receive many rewards for the hard work I do, one of which is a decent pay packet every week. For the most of this year, I've fallen back into the gambling habit. I think I do this to pass the time alone, to be around other people. You see, when I finish work and come home to my lovely little unit, I feel lonely. I miss having my kids around, and I don't really have any close friends. The kids are busy living their own lives. I don't like to sit and watch TV. I have no hobbies, so I go and play the pokies. Nearly every single day I gamble. I don't talk to anyone really. I just sit at the machine and hit the buttons. So I fully understand it's self-destructive. And then she asks for your thoughts, David, and for some help.
Yeah, I think there's two or three points that I'd like to make on this one. First of all, you know, I'm going to use the word addiction for anyone who has an addiction. And when you start saying every single day I do something, and it's easy to justify a situation and make sense of it. And you know, I come from an English culture where everyone drinks a lot, right? And so it's very easy for me to sometimes to throw down a few more than I need to. But you know, there are numbers, and there are ways of knowing whether something has turned from you know, something to pass the time or something to get you out of the house to becoming an addiction where, you know, you don't have control. What you have is what you have is something that you need help with. And there's organizations, there are certainly with gambling, you know, there are 1-800 numbers everywhere. You're obviously in Australia by the question I just heard, pokies, which are the slot machines. I would say, first of all, I would go and seek some help and guidance and talk to a professional about how the frequency and what you're doing. And then there's three parts to the question, so I don't want you to give up listening to the answer because, you know, that's not something maybe you want to hear. But I do think that addiction is not how it impacts you. It impacts everyone around you. And the first step to change is always awareness. And you obviously have extreme awareness of your situation and the fact that you're asking for help. Maybe I'm not the right guy to ask for help from on this particular regard. I'm not a gambling expert, but I can say I hear within your story, and obviously Jen only read a little bit of what you wrote, was there's a paradox there. It's almost like I go out to get out the house and be with people, but then I don't talk to anyone when I'm there, which is a paradox, right? It's kind of like you're trapped in this idea that, yeah, I'm going out because I don't want to be alone, but I'm going to be alone in a different way. So then the question would come down to, what do you want to do with your life? Your kids are grown up. Guess what? Great, they're out of the house. And you know, if I don't know how your relationship is with your kids. I imagine if you're gambling a lot and you're not seeing them a lot, and then you start to feel lonely a lot, sometimes it's even our kids don't want to be around us as much as we'd like them to be because we're not giving off the energy and the life force or the beauty that would help them have a better life. So we always have to think about that, even with our kids, is are we being the kind of person that our kids want to have in their life? Are we, when we're around them, do we have the kind of energy that makes their life richer? And I think that that's something to question as well. As, again, I'm not sure how that relationship looks. But here's what it comes down to. I think the essence here is to go out, and you said you have no hobbies, and I would say start a hobby right away. There has to be something you've always wanted to do. And obviously, if you're if you're putting money in a slot machine every night, you have the money to put into something else. There's absolutely no doubt if you took those dollars. And so money can't be an issue here. Habits can be. And, you know, there are good habits and bad habits. And obviously, this is not a great habit. But the question would be is to start a hobby. And say, well, how do I choose a hobby? Well, I have a CD called Your Understanding Your Why, which could help with that process. But I mean, you know, whether it's a saxophone, a knitting club, a poetry club, a hiking club, what is it you love to do? What is it the thing? And look back in your history and say, well, what did I used to love to do if I'm not doing it right now? And I would go and join a club. Because the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to be around like-minded people who think like you, who like the same things. It's going to be easy to connect. And then you're going to have to be, suddenly you're out of the house for a different set of reasons, doing something is going to open up that passion drawer for you. Once the passion drawer is open, you can start thinking about other things you want to do, consciously want to do, to start to step into a kick-ass life, which means, remember, everyone else is waiting for somebody to go first. And somebody like yourself who has now developed a habit of being alone, of using work as the validation. So in work, you feel validated, all right? But the only challenge is this: unless we can self-validate, All right, it's impossible in the end to give what we don't have. So we go to work, we work our asses off, and that's what you've said, sort of described, is you work over, you know, you put a lot of hours in, right? And you're the kind of person, it's great for an employer to have someone like you who will give, and you'll probably put extra hours in without getting paid. You know, you're the last one on the list. So the question right now is then, how do you sort of not use work as validation? It's nice to be patted on the back, but how do you find a way to have that same feeling when you're alone, when you get out of bed?
I just wanted to share it because I was actually just doing some reading on the plane on the way here on happiness, and a book by Tal Ben Shahar called Happier. And he actually speaks about how it is important to feel that you get meaning and purpose from your work. So I think this is something that's really positive for her, that it's a good thing. Maybe being at work 6 days a week is not the best thing, but at least going to work is giving her meaning and purpose, which is a good thing to have to feel happier.
No, absolutely. And but what I'm saying is, if that's your only form of validation, so the only time you feel validated is by when you put in extreme hours, mm-hmm. and you work, and then you come home empty and depleted.
Right.
That's what I was trying to. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you shouldn't be working at anything if you're not fulfilled,
because
you're going to be unhappy. Because 8-9 hours of your life a day is spent in an environment that doesn't serve you. Mm-hmm. That's a great point. So I'm not saying to quit your work. I'm just saying is to feel. Where do you find that same feeling of validation
on
your own time when you look in the mirror? How do you look in the mirror each morning? If you go back and listen to my show I did with Lisa Nichols, she gave this wonderful exercise by looking in the mirror. And I would do that every morning. I would do gratitudes after every meal, which is something we do. You know, so you sit there, you share three things you're grateful for, one thing you were good at today, one thing you were good at today, one thing you're looking forward to. So you start to really work with the mind and start to fall hopelessly in love with where you're at, including the gambling. The gambling is not an issue. It's like if I go out and drink too much, I don't come home and beat the crap out of myself about it. And say, well, you know, I was up all night with my mates having a few drinks, right? That's not something that I ever get into. I'm not worried about that. But if I was coming home drunk every night, right, or every single day, I had to go and drink. I mean, in other words, it was, and I do, I mean, I like a glass of wine, I like a beer. I mean, I enjoy drinking. It's not like I don't like having some drinks, right? But I mean, if it started to become a real problem and I felt like I couldn't, it was the only time I felt happy. Let's use that as the example. That, you know, only time I felt fulfilled and happy was when I was having a drink. I would then be really concerned, and I would start looking at Al-Anon or Alcoholics Anonymous, and I would go and get help. I don't feel that way. I feel like it's something that I enjoy to have in my life. So gambling could still be a part of your life if you love it. If you like playing the pokies and you want to go down there once a week and spend a few hours and you have a budget, you know, that could be great. But how do we fill the rest of the week where you start to feel full and your heart starts to expand? And what's going to have to happen for sure for anyone listening who's trapped in a similar situation, it may not be gambling, it may just be the work addiction. It could be, you know, exercise addiction. I can't tell you how many people are addicted. They don't even feel happy unless they worked out. So they can't even feel good about themselves when the next day comes around because they missed a workout. So now they're beating the crap out of themselves, which again becomes a real prison, mm-hmm. right? And you know lots of people like that, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I used to be one of them.
No, exactly. So I hope that, does that sort of answer? I know it's a long-winded question, but the three parts then are, if we review it, mm-hmm. is first of all, get help, because it's an everyday thing. Second part is to really start filling your life. Don't say, I have no hobbies. Get some hobbies. Mm-hmm. And remember, the whole world's waiting for somebody else to go first. Go around and knock on your neighbor's door. Invite them in over for a glass of wine or a cup of tea or whatever like that. So we got to start reaching out to other people and initiate relationships. And the third is to fall hopelessly in love with you in your imperfection, because that's the part that's the hardest to fall in love with.
That's nice.
Wise words from a crazy... We only got a couple of minutes left. That 30 minutes went
that
well.
That was good. Those were good questions today.
Did you have any other questions?
Oh, I did have a question, actually. So... we have had an extremely busy couple of weeks and...
pressure filled.
Yes, David, I just so admire how you manage pressure and multitask and can have multiple things going on in your head, and you manage it so well. And earlier this week, I misread an itinerary and we missed one of our flights coming back from Atlanta. And I beat myself up over it because I knew we needed that extra day at home to get ready to come here to Belize, and it actually delayed us a whole day. But you immediately focus on the solution, figure out, okay, what flight can we get on, and moving on straight away. And I'm huffing and puffing because I'm frustrated, and not for one second did you blame me. Did you get frustrated? Did you even go to that place of, oh my gosh, now we have one less day to get ready? I just want to know if you've always had that in you. Like, have you always been able to practice focusing on the solution, or was there a time where you did get frustrated and got flustered and got carried away? Has this been a practice for you, or how did it come about?
I almost feel like we should stop it right here. You know, like I used to go to the movies when I was a kid, and come back next week for the continuing adventure of Tintin, right? yeah, I mean, the answer...
Come back next week and find out the answer.
I mean, we're at 30 minutes, so I mean, we really should... I'll keep this tight. Maybe next week we'll dig into it a little deeper. I'll do a show on it. No, I think I used to get frustrated. I think that what I've learned is that, and what I teach is that, you know, once it's already happened, there's nothing you can do about it. And the anger and the frustration, the upset, the everything. Like, if I could have made Jen feel like crap in that moment. And by the way, she was really beating the crap out of herself. I mean, we'd missed the flight by 4 hours or something like that. It wasn't like we missed it by 5 minutes. And then, you know, there's the additional cost. So it cost us a few extra $100. There's all this other stuff going on. I already know that Jen's feeling like crap anyway. So that's one thing. But the other part I really know is there's nothing I can do about the missed flight. In this moment, I just know it's already happened. I can't change that. So why give it any energy? So I think my practice, which I think Jen sees on a daily basis, is always the solution, never the problem. The problem's already occurred. Me focusing on it can't change it. So I don't. I just don't bother. And so my practice is always a choice in my head is, okay, problem, solution. Well, what's the solution? So let's step into the solution. And I actually have a very easy time. I mean, some days, I mean, there's a lot going on and so I'm being pulled in 9 pieces, but I just don't worry about the ones. I can only do what I'm focused on right now. And the other stuff would just have to wait. And that was actually just when we were setting up for the show, you were getting a little stressed out because we have a lot to do, right?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, well, why are you so stressed out? I said, why don't you relax a little bit? And she's like, well, I just know that you have got a lot to do today, and I'm struggling getting these questions because we obviously, internet's not very good here, right? And so Jen was like really stressing out. I said, well, I'm not stressed at all. I said, I'm the one that's got to do all the work. I said, why don't you just relax? You know, and of course, that doesn't always help pointing that out to someone. But
a part of it with me is feeling like I expect you to get frustrated when I should just understand you don't.
Well, the other, I mean, even when we missed the flight, you said to me, you said, oh, thanks for not getting angry with me. I put that there to stop the wind. You know, you didn't get angry. Thank you for not getting angry with me. And that's a behavior where, I mean, you grew up, you know, with coaches getting angry at you. You've had ex-boyfriends who were, you know, your last boyfriend who was a bit of a turnip. You know, he got... Well, I mean, in that regard, not as a person. I'm just saying in the fact that he was get frustrated and angry.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, it's easy to become a whipping dog for somebody else's emotions. But I always say, you know, you teach people how to treat you. Mm. So, you know, you have to become the person where, you know, I mean, if Jen treated me like that, I wouldn't like it. And so I try not to. I mean, it's not like I never get frustrated. I get frustrated when she tells me what to do.
You do.
I hate being told what to
do. You hate being told what to do.
All right, well, listen, it's up to you, kid. You're the timekeeper here.
Whoa, ding, 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 time to go. So from Belize, we're signing off. We'll see you guys on the other side.
Want to go for a swim?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
That was kick-ass.